Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
How is everyone?
Good.
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 Hello, can everyone hear me?
Yeah, yes.
Some weird feedback going on. I'm not sure what. Okay. So it's Jill. I'm going to be doing roll call today because Ed is on his way to Japan. So let's see. Who do we have on the call so far?
Joanne here.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi there.
Sarah.
Yep, Mike here.
Rajesh Miranda.
Yeah.
Johan here.
Johan.
Hi, this is Joe Wong from IEEE. Bill Dante will join me shortly.
Great.
Tom at NOVAS. So,
hi.
This is Christy Petrenko.
Hey, Christy.
Jill, I'm not sure if you heard me. This is Jeff Wozniak.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
Happy almost birthday, Jeff.
Thank you. A couple more days.
Mm-hmm.
Good memory.
Ken Jones is here, Jill.
Hi, Dr. Jones.
Hi, Jill.
How about Cristiano? Is he joining us today?
Hi, Cristiano. I'm here. Hi.
Great. Scott?
Scott's here.
Hi. Tina? Leah?
I'm here.
Hi. Allison Noble?
She's traveling at the moment, but
okay.
Mike's up here.
Tom Blanchard? Sandra?
Yep, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Sorry for all the back and forth. Kazuo and Masaki?
Hi, I'm here.
Hi. Kathy Mitchell? And then how about the SAB? Are John, Sarah, Joe, James, or Dan here?
Hannigan's here.
Hi, Dr. Hannigan. Okay. Well, looks like we've got a good group of us here, and as people join, just let me know. So the first thing to really talk about is the face-to-face meeting that's coming up at the end of the month here. We'll be meeting all day on Monday, October 28th in Bethesda, and half of the day on Tuesday, the 29th. Does everyone have their sleeping rooms that needed their sleeping rooms?
Yes, I still need to modify mine.
Okay. Really bad. I don't know why these things happen to us, but they do.
Well, if you mute the computer microphone, if you're using the phone, that might help.
Yeah, I don't think anyone should be using the computer microphones. But it looks like almost all of them defaulted to that today, so maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, I think they changed it, Jill. Remember we looked
at it? Yeah.
And so you have to actually actively disconnect your computer if you're not using the computer microphone. Jill, do you remember how we did that?
Yeah, you can click on the phone icon and click disconnect, or you can go under the dot, dot, dot and click audio and hit disconnect. But, yeah, we're having a lot of feedback. So the agenda is being worked on, and we should be wrapping that up within the next week. But just to let all of you know, and many of you have sent your slide sets already, thank you. Each project will have at least 15 minutes to present their research, and then 5 minutes for question and answers at the face-to-face meeting. So you want to make sure that you're working on those. And we sent out a format for some information to include, including a translational slide. Did everyone get that information okay?
Yes.
Yes.
Great. Does anyone have any questions about the face-to-face meeting?
Are we doing all of those in presentations the first day?
We're going to try to get through as many projects the first day and then save the more businessy things for the second day. At least that's what the agenda looked like the last draft I looked at. I know it's being looked at NIAAA this week.
Hi, Jill. This is Bill Dunty.
Hi.
Just joining. So I just spoke to Dr. Coop about the agenda. And he didn't really have any changes. I know him and Trish Powell, the deputy director, is going to be there pretty much all day Monday, and we're not sure about their participation Tuesday morning.
Okay.
But they will be there all day Tuesday, and so I think at least the draft.
Or all day Monday.
I'm sorry, all day Monday, yes.
Okay.
The draft agenda that you sent around, I think, should be okay to send to everyone else.
Okay, great. I'll shoot that out after the meeting.
Great, thanks.
Okay, does anyone have anything else about the meeting that they need clarified or...
This is Bill again. I think we talked about the presentations and just for those PIs that are going to speak, you know, just really taking some time to carefully craft your project, you know, the goals of your project, and to really think about how to end your talk by highlighting kind of the translational potential or the actual translational aims of your study. I will point out Dr. Koob's going to kind of lead a 30-minute discussion about translating CFAS findings efforts into the clinic. He'll probably talk a little bit about his trip to Alaska where he came back and told us about the sort of this unmet need for many different things in the area of FASD, you know, services, clinical diagnostic capacity, et cetera. And so he came back from that meeting really fired up about getting this consortium's findings, you know, accelerating that effort to see what we can do for the clinical diagnosis, I guess, if you will, and you know, interventions for individuals with FASD. So I think that's where he's going to come from in this meeting. So, you know, if each speaker can kind of keep that in mind as they develop their slides, I think that he'll be pretty impressed by our progress, and I think it will aid in that 30-minute discussion that we have him leading. So.
Great. Anyone else, anything about the meeting, or should we move on to the data sharing?
Yeah, sorry, just a quick question to Bill there on that note. I was speaking to Ed when we were in France, and he said something similar. Out of fear of neglecting a lot of the other side of our project, I focused on a lot of the clinical translation. Do you reckon that's all right?
It's very hard to hear what he's saying.
Oh, Sorry. I'm just stuck in traffic at the moment. Is that better?
Oh, much better. Oh, Mike. Sorry, I couldn't even hear who it was.
Sorry. Sorry. It's more for Bill about the just focusing on the slides there. I've spoken to Ed previously, and he said the same thing. So I focused a lot of my talk on the clinical translation, but I fear that I've pushed aside a lot of the other parts of the project. Do you think that's okay, or is that, or should I aim to bring everything else in as well? I fear that I'm neglecting a lot of the other projects just focusing on the translation and stuff.
Yeah, it's a hard question to answer. I mean, I would say if you could find some kind of balance and where that balance is a little heavier and on the clinical translation side of things, but see if you can touch upon some of the other aims, even if it's just brief. I don't know. I mean, Jill, I guess we were giving everyone 20 minutes, 25 minutes?
15 minutes for everybody, and then the couple with supplements, 20 minutes, and then 5 minutes for questions.
Yeah. So, Mike, I'm not sure what to say. I don't know. How do others feel?
I mean, I think it's important to include some of the results and why they're important, or why they're novel. I mean, clearly yours are, in addition to the translational piece. Don't focus only on that, I would think.
Well, they're not unrelated, of course. Focusing on those results that you think are most readily translatable. Maybe that's the way to orient things.
Yeah, that's the kind of approach I've taken. Okay, brilliant. Thank you.
Okay, can everyone see my screen? I just put up the consortium website page.
Yep.
Okay. And so Leah from the IU team is going to update us on where we're at with data sharing.
Can't hear you.
Leah is going to update us on where we're at with data sharing.
Okay, so this is Leah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I think Jill's going to show us the old data sharing page that people would go to when they wanted to request access to the CFAS data. It's very long and convoluted, has a lot of information that's not easily digestible. So Jennifer Thomas worked with someone at San Diego, and they revised that website. So now there's a very clear table that shows which projects are available for which phase. And we've sent a condensed description of each project and phase to the investigators, and we've asked them for feedback. And as soon as we have that, we will have a link to that information so that when you click on the table in one of those check marks, the information will pop up on your screen. You can see what information is available. And then if you want to request the data, you can click on that CFAS data access request form. If you scroll down, Jill's going to show us. This links to an Indiana REDCap site that people can fill out, and then we'll get the request and take it to the data access committee. And if you scroll down on this page, you can see people might have questions. So when you click on the question, then the answer will pop up. Okay. So that's the data request page. Once they request data, we have everything in one place at Indiana on the secure box. So the CFAS 1 through 3 archive data. And here you can see there's a folder for each data file. for each project and each phase. The genetic data doesn't, it encompasses multiple phases, so it's a folder by itself. The data dictionaries are at the bottom. So what we can do is we can give access to each individual folder according to what a person requests and has permission to access. Any questions? Or advice, suggestions on doing it better?
Hey, Leah, this is Bill again. This looks great, especially the table and the drop-downs with the questions. Currently, I guess, can you remind me, we have only gone live with the phase one data. I assume this is a ramp up so that we can go live with the other two phases at some point?
Yes, I think we need to do just a final walkthrough of who we need to make sure is taken out of the data, like the participants from Finland, and I'm not sure yet if Bill May's participants agreed to sharing their data. But otherwise, it's all ready to go. All three phases, not just phase one.
Yeah, great. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a question.
I'm sorry, Bill.
No, I was just going to say that at least from an IAAA's standpoint, this is a really important effort, and it's good to hear that we're almost there.
So, Leah, it's Joanne. So, for the later phases, I assume this means that people within the consortium can ask to look at data. In terms of outside people, does that apply to people outside the consortium as well?
So I think that's two questions, Joanne. The first question is, our current CFAS investigators, can we allow them to have access to this archive data?
Right.
Can we answer that question first?
Right.
Is everybody agreeable to allowing current investigators to this archive data?
You're talking about phases 1 through 3?
Yes. Any objections? Okay.
Seems reasonable, as long as people are still following the procedures for, like, let's say, publishing, filling out the forms for to let everyone know what data is being worked on and published, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think that's really.
So you think they should have to request the data?
No. I'm saying that as long as people are continuing to use the forms to indicate that they're working on publications, so that, in other words, so everyone would know that someone was accessing. Or was planning to use data from a previous phase internally because they would be filling out those the forms about publication. Otherwise,
I mean, the only thing I would add is whoever is the PI for those particular data should be notified if someone is looking at the data.
So I think that in the past, people have had access, but the person who has wanted to access data did not have to announce themselves as accessing the data, but they had to fill out the forms that Jeff is talking about, which is, I'm totally forgetting the name of them at the moment, but concept proposals, and that gets logged and shared, and that's in keeping with the publication procedures. So I think it's really important that those procedures are followed so that people are aware of what projects are being conducted.
Right. The concept proposal doesn't have data in it. It just has a preliminary manuscript, or the manuscript is either under consideration or being proposed or submitted.
before the, no, it's even earlier than that, Joanne. It's when I have an idea of something that I'm looking at, I'm supposed to complete a concept proposal. So that would be a way for the PI, if they're following it, which they should be, to know that someone is accessing and thinking about using those data. And that would be the time where you say, that's a really great idea. I'm already working on that. Or that's a really great idea. I want
to
be involved.
Well, to me, it would be a courtesy if someone wants to look at data that I have, or I want to look at data of someone else, that I at least tell them, connect with them specifically. Beyond the concept proposal, I don't know how many times a month I can get to review all the concept proposals.
The publication policy is something that we've definitely talked about revisiting, and I think, Leah, maybe the data sharing and the publication committee can converse?
Yeah, it just seems if someone wants to look at data of particular PI, it would just be a courtesy, in addition to the concept proposal, to connect directly. We're a consortium. We're supposed to interact. That's my thought. Anyway, I'll leave it.
Yeah, but wasn't part of Jeff's comment whether current PIs want to access data from previous phases, and should those PIs that are no longer with the consortium be notified? I guess that's a separate issue.
That's a separate issue,
but that was part of my thought, yeah.
Well, I think by default, the PIs that are no longer associated don't have access because the data don't live where they used to live, but they don't have a password or a way to access the data without asking.
Yeah.
Right, Leah? That's right, right?
I think so, and I think Elizabeth Sal's postdoc had to request the data.
Well, yeah, but they were... That didn't go through the standard process.
Oh.
I think, this is Tina, I think the value for this is not so much for the, you know, protection of the previous investigator, but more to link anybody requesting that data to the original generator of it, to so that both parties would be able to, benefit from experience with how the data was collected and any nuances that the person who's newly requesting it might need to know.
Yeah, I agree, Tina. I think that has been more explicit in the outside of CFAS data sharing that we didn't require but encouraged the outside requesters to contact the PI, but we hadn't had anything like that for internal investigators.
Yeah.
And it wasn't actually a rule for outside investigators, which may be okay.
Yeah. To me, it makes sense for internal investigators. That, like Joanne says, that's what we're here. We're not here to be doing something in the corner. We're here to be communicating about what we are doing.
I agree. I think as a consortium, we should be the leaders in collaborating, right, and setting that example. But I can also say that it may not always happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not asking for anything unusual. It's just you fill out a concept proposal. Other people may want to review that. That's kind of in the books. But if someone else wants to use your data, the data you originally collected, in some other way, I think it would just be courteous to communicate directly to let the PI know. Maybe do it collaboratively. That's what we're supposed to do. And this is especially true if data hasn't yet been published. So that's my only concern, and I don't know if that's I'm not trying to set up any barriers. The whole point of this consortium, and I've said that it enormously, is the ability to collaborate. That has made it possible for me to do anything in this field, so in the human study. So I appreciate that. I don't want to set a barrier. I just want to sort of communicate.
Joanne, I think the way you expressed it is the expectation for the consortium, and I think we've functioned that way pretty well over the last couple of years, and even though there were some bumps in the road with previous phases, I think at least my impression is that we've been doing just that. How we formalize it with the data access committee is another issue. But.
Right. I mean, I agree. It's been totally supportive and collegial and collaborative. I couldn't agree more. I'm just saying we're accessing data now, so I'd like to continue that experience. I'm seeing a dead horse here. Let me leave.
I'm wondering if maybe the solution to partial solution is to just add some language to the concept proposal form that says, if you're at this stage of thinking about a project involving data, this is for internal people, and you're either analyzing data or writing up a manuscript or you have a concept, at this point you should be contacting the appropriate the collector of the data, and there's a list of those people here, and here are the email addresses for those people.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, Jeff, and I think as we revisit the publication policy and procedures, that's definitely something we can do if everyone thinks it's a good idea.
Is the box that you showed earlier, that whole list of projects, is that available to us yet or not? That.
The one that Jill just showed is not available to everyone yet. I wanted to make sure that it's okay that I give everyone who's currently in CFAS access to this.
Okay, because that will be helpful to write up the descriptions of what's in there to be able to actually check to make sure what's in there is what we're describing.
And I would also say if this is going to be public outside of the immediate project, that Joanne's comment is especially true because, just for example, as we add data to our projects, we may, clean and change data sets as well. And so you
right.
wouldn't want to have the wrong, accessing the wrong thing or not know what you're talking about when you're accessing the data.
Exactly.
Okay, so should we talk about the current central repository?
Sure.
I can work with Jill about updating the concept proposal. Or the archive data. Okay, so Jill's showing you the current central repository. And right now, everyone only has access to their individual folder. And if you, Jill, if you click on the Ukraine data, that's a really nice example. So Tina has her folder set up so that she has all her data and her data dictionaries is in the data file. Folder, it's a folder, not a file. You can see she has lots of data uploaded here and all her data dictionaries. And if you go back to her main folder, she has an ultrasound folder that she has uploaded ultrasound videos to. And I think it's organized by site. So they can upload their videos to this folder, and Mike has access to this folder. He can download the videos he wants whenever he wants to. He can also upload any results he has and share them with Tina's group. So Jill, if you go back out to the main CFAS 4, so you only have access to your own folder right now because I wanted to make sure that people had uploaded data that they were willing to share with all the other projects. Once I have the green light from everybody, I will give access to all current investigators to this overall folder so that you can go into any of these subfolders and download data if you want to.
So, Leah, can we talk about that for a minute? Because I think that's a significant change. And it gets a little bit at, I think, what Joanne was asking about. So if there's what in the past we've uploaded data, and it's been a way of sort of monitoring our progress, you know, to show that we're collecting data on track, that we're, you know, doing everything that we said we were supposed to do, at least from the clinical project. And
my,
now,
my car's registered with that system.
Now it's more...
Right.
Now it's more that we're putting it in there so other people can access it, rather than just being a store for us and track.
Well, the ultimate repository, people could download the data. So I think that's the spirit of the current central repository. The overall goal of this and long-term is that eventually these data will be shared outside CFAS once this grant cycle is over. That's why you only want to upload data that you're willing to share with other people.
Well, yeah, I mean, so back to the point. You know, we're collecting data on individuals being recruited, so we have half our sample recruited. I wouldn't want someone accessing those data and trying to use them without talking to us, without us being involved, because the end is way too low to make any conclusions. I mean, I don't think that would happen, really, knowing everyone in CFAS, but it's just one of the issues that... not quite ready to share all the data. The data is very incomplete.
So I'm not the person to decide who, what portion of your data should be uploaded. And
right. So I understand. I mean, I think maybe I have a false concern. Maybe this is not even an issue, given how we operate as a consortium. But you know, as Sarah said, this is a major thing that someone else may download all your data.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a legitimate thing to talk about in advance. And I think, I mean, Joanne, I don't know how you would feel, but if there was a comment like Jeff said, you know, if you're going to access, if you're doing this project and you're going to access this data, you really should contact the investigator. I mean, I don't think it would happen, but I know that all of us would feel terrible if somebody downloaded our data inside or outside of the consortium and published something we had in the works or we were going to do. And so
that's exactly right. And given that you are the one who collected the data, it shouldn't be published unless it's collaborative anyway. So these are the data you collected. So.
Right. And I think as long as we're explicit about the expectations, I think that's, you know, we are all collaborative, but you wouldn't want ever there to be a misunderstanding.
Right. I'm completely comfortable with that. Just being more explicit would help a lot.
So I can give you an example of how it would be helpful to have some data that I have access to or our group has access to. For example, when we get enough people to do some sequencing, it would be really helpful if I could go to the neurobehavioral data and to your data, Joanne, and the Claire's data and pull down whatever information I can have about these people that might tell me which people I want to sequence and which people are not going to be that helpful to do sequencing on. And obviously, we would not do anything without input from anybody whose data we use.
Well, yeah, I think the example you mentioned is just that. I mean, you wouldn't want to have to do that every time you wanted to look at a subset of individuals and have to request that separately with Sarah or Joanne or Tina.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I maybe this is something that the Data Access Committee or even could address, or even, you know, if we could carve out some time at the face-to-face meeting to talk about some of these concerns.
Well, you might ask once, not every single time, once to say exactly what you just said. I want to access your demographic data and your blah, blah, blah while we do the looking at the genetics. The answer is yes, and then go ahead and just do it.
We could do that. For sure, it sounds like this needs more discussion, but at least now you have a visual of what the folder looks like. And know that nobody else has access to any folders except their own folder. So Jill can show you all of these folders because I gave her access, but as soon as we're done, I'm going to delete her, and she won't have access anymore. And so when you go to look, you will only see your own folder.
Wouldn't that solve the problem or maybe the issue that we're discussing? If the internal PIs don't have access?
Well, if I wanted to get data, if I know I've got 30 people from Joanne's site who have given saliva and I can only sequence 10 of them, I would like to be able to go to Joanne's folder and download her data so that I can see, oh, these are the 10 people I want to sequence. I don't care about these other 20.
Right,
but
and
right
I,
now
I
don't really have permission to do that.
But then if you just mentioned it to me, I would say, terrific, go ahead, this is great.
I think the idea is that this should be a repository. I mean, if it's just a storage space for each individual project, it's not really a central repository. So then
correct.
We might need to revisit
correct.
What it's called.
No, it should be a repository. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of a philosophical issue here about who owns data and who should be separately from who should participate in publications of data. And to me, the idea of the consortium is that we all agreed ahead of time to some extent that the consortium owns the data, and that we're making a contribution by collecting certain kinds of data within our areas of expertise, but that we're automatically sharing that internally. Separate from that is the issue of, you know, when people are going to actually do something for which they get credit for that data, like a presentation or publication, then it becomes important to have input. Does that distinction make sense to anyone else?
Yes, that perfectly sums it up.
But Jeff, in your first scenario, would that require all the PIs signing off to access the data?
I personally, in thinking about it right now, real time, I don't think it does, because I think we kind of all agreed that as we're collecting data, we're going to be sharing it with each other.
Right.
And then there's a separate process of, you know, determining, like, who gets credit for publications and things going forward. But the sharing of the data itself seems to me like that's just inherent in the consortium model that we have.
Yeah, I agree with that too, Jeff. And I think that puts a little bit of pressure on the publication committee, because we have procedures in place, but they – are not perfect. And maybe Joanne and everyone, that's a place to make our expectations more explicit, because I know that hasn't always worked in the past.
Yeah, I agree with Joanne's basic idea that letting each other know what we're doing with the data is a courtesy, and maybe even more than a courtesy. And I think that mechanism could potentially be the concept proposal idea. So.
But what happens if someone doesn't?
I think that's an important thing to make explicit as well.
What was the comment? I missed it.
What's the punishment?
What happens if they don't?
Right.
Prison.
Yeah.
Execution.
Well, if you want, I can summarize this and we can talk about it more when we are face-to-face next month. I do have a question about, once we decide how and who's sharing data, we've all agreed that we'll share some data and upload a new file quarterly. I need to know what date people think the quarterly upload should be. If we want one of the dates to be after the close of the grant cycle, I think that would be June 1st.
Well, if you do that, you would be June, September, and then January 1st, and you probably don't want that.
No, it would be June 1st, September 1st, December 1st, and March 1st.
Or December 1st. Really?
June, July, August.
That sounds fine.
I think, does that June, September 1st, December 1st? Yeah, I think that makes it so you don't have to upload right after the holidays.
March, June, September, December, right?
Right.
That makes sense.
So I can summarize the discussion about the sharing of the data, and I wish Tatiana were here because I know she would really take over this discussion and tell everybody what's going to be done and how it's going to be done, and I'm not good at that.
Do you think that we need to have a discussion of the publication policy at the meeting, or we can do that separately? And that's to everybody, Bill included. No? Okay, we'll do it separately.
I think we have space on the agenda to do it at the meeting if you guys are interested, and I know that we have something on the agenda right now to talk about data sharing.
I just think they're two separate issues, and they shouldn't probably be wrapped into one.
Sarah, can you answer this? Just remind me. We have a data sharing committee.
Yes.
Do we also have a publication committee?
Yep.
We do.
And those members aren't the same or exclusive?
They're not
or,
the same.
Yeah. So then it may make... I don't know.
Have we
had meetings, recent meetings of either?
No. We only had, in the past, we had data sharing committee meetings when we needed to, when we were
right.
establishing the
Developing.
Plan. before, you know, what needed to take place for data sharing agreements and things. And then we had meetings periodically when we had a request. And for the publication committee, we have not had a meeting since we established the procedures, which was a while ago. I think Tatiana used to be chair of the publications committee, but has passed that off to me. And Bill Barnett used to be chair of the data sharing committee, but I think that's Leah now.
Okay. So can I make a suggestion if we can squeeze in maybe at least one phone call of each prior to the face-to-face meeting to kind of formalize some of these issues and maybe present some recommendations at the face-to-face meeting? Even though we do have time slotted, it might not be enough to really fully vet these issues. So.
Yeah. So, Jill, do you have handy who is on those committees? Or maybe you could just tell us after, just so everyone knows.
Yeah, I was trying to look it up, and it's in that old email folder that I can't access for whatever reason. So I will look into it.
I can help you with that because I'm on both of those committees.
Yeah. And we can definitely – we also have one more meeting, a monthly meeting like this, before the face-to-face on the 23rd. So if those committees can meet, there can be some pre-talk before the face-to-face as well on the next monthly meeting.
And I would also add, you know, we created those committees back when we were CFAS 3. So if there are any new investigators that would like to join those committees, they pay well. I would say –
very well.
Reach out to Sarah or Jill.
I'll send emails out after this meeting to do doodle polls for them, and if people want to join, feel free to do so.
Sounds good.
Well, thank you, Leah,
for the bill too. Sorry.
No, thank you, Leah, for presenting that. Everything, I think the new structure on, which I can't find now all of a sudden with all my tabs open, I think it looks really user-friendly, and it's exciting that we're going to be getting going on that soon. So thank you for all your work on that.
Happy to do it.
Leah.
I know that Michael and Ed were unfortunately not able to be on the call today, but a couple others of you are at ESBRA. Does anyone want to say anything about how the CFAS symposium went at ESBRA?
It was a little short on attendance, but it was a good meeting, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, those people who were there seemed to really like it. So I felt pretty positive about all the presentations. I feel like it went really well.
Great. And then go ahead.
That session, can someone remind me of the theme?
It was at ESBRA. It was Michael Tronis, Johan, me, Scott, and Mike Suddy. And it was, I guess, just an overview of each of our research or most recent, or some of our recent stuff.
Do you guys feel like that's a good meeting to attend? I mean, we've had the NIAAA staff attend that meeting, and I'm not sure how to phrase it. They've come back saying that maybe RSA is a little bit of a better meeting to attend. I don't know.
RSA was better. Kathy Young was there. She seemed really excited about all of the stuff that was presented. There weren't a lot of people there. Adolf Pfefferbaum was there. How many people, Johan, did we count? Like 15, 20?
It was people trickled in. I think by the end, there was a little north of 20 people attending. In general, I felt like there was not a lot of FASD research there. So,
yeah, I'd agree with that. Definitely underrepresented.
I wonder if the maybe the next time around, if a better meeting to target, if we want to still have a presence in Europe, is the European FASD meeting. I would at maybe some point like to hear some opinions from those that have attended that meeting, whether that might be a worthwhile meeting to go to.
Bill, this is Scott. I went 2 years ago when it was in London, and it was a pretty good meeting.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a good meeting. It's in Norway next year. But yeah, I think I'd say it's definitely a good meeting.
Yeah, I've been at two of them. I was in London and I was in Berlin this past year, and it's a good meeting. I mean, the science is pretty strong. I think strong on the whole, and of course, it's a big focus on FASD. And it tends to interact with people that don't typically interact with. And I thought it was good. I'll just tell you that to get to this type of trophy, it's not as easy. And I was thinking of not going. It's just a pretty isolated, difficult to get to. But it is basically a good thing.
I think there's value in it because it is entirely FASD, but I sort of put it on a plane with the Vancouver meeting so that maybe it's not as, I don't know, high level in terms of the science aspect of it, and then also it is focused on Europe. So not that they haven't welcomed us in the past, but it...
Okay, well, we will definitely start thinking about symposium ideas for 2020 in the near future for a lot of meetings. So definitely something to put on our radar. Does anyone have any project updates that they wanted to share? I know everyone's busy preparing their two-page briefing reports and their PowerPoint slides. I will shoot out emails later today for those that I haven't heard from, just to see where things are at. I know that a lot of you were in Ukraine last week. I hope everything went well there.
Well, it was sort of an interesting time to be there.
I bet.
Say
the least. I bet. I'm trying to learn not to put the in front of the Ukraine. That's my goal.
Yeah, please
for
don't.
Right
do
now. Because we don't say the France, someone yelled. So, yes.
And don't say Ukraine.
Either. Oh. I am learning many more things.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a couple more minutes left, and I will shoot out another informational email about the meeting. Definitely some invites for some conversations to happen about the publication policy and data sharing policy before the 23rd meeting. If anyone has anything they'd like to present on the 23rd meeting, please let me know because we have an open agenda at this point. And then does anyone from the SAB or NAAA have any comments?
I have no comments. Just looking forward to the meeting later in the month.
Great.
Dan, yes, I am too. One question I had is when will we see the progress reports in advance?
Hopefully a week in advance. I'm going to look them all over this afternoon and kind of see if there's... if someone's model really stood out and if we should all embody it and have them reworked a little bit so they all look a little bit more uniform, basically. And I know that instructions were sent out about what the contents should be. And then we'll get them all put together so that everyone can review them. Even if they're not in their final format, we'll try and get them to you.
Okay. Now that will be very helpful.
And again, they're not really progress reports as much in the general format as they were, kind of update briefing book kind of things that might be the same but might have been approached a little bit differently.
Okay.
Just to kind of get Dr. Kube and other people from NIAAA who might not be as familiar with CFAS up to date. I think I said that right. Anything else from NIAAA or any other SAB members?
No. Bill already left for another meeting, and
okay.
I have no comment.
Well, thank you, everyone, for meeting on this rescheduled call, and we'll talk via email here in the near future, and I will send out reminders, but we'll have another call on the 23rd and then the face-to-face on the 28th. So enjoy the rest of your day, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you,
Joe.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See you later, everybody.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye. Bye.